A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 12 January 2025, Sunday. So we'll be continuing our sharing from our Heart Sutta, second edition. We are at page 108, lesson 20. Okay, as usual, we will compose our mind, develop the Sada, Virya, then mindfully we shall have our puja chanting. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Yaosifo, Namo Yaosifo, Namo Yaosifo, Namo Pusyam Pusa, Namo Pusyam Pusa, Namo Pusyam Pusa, Namo Dishangwang Pusa, Namo Dishangwang Pusa, Namo Dishangwang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagawa. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Sura meraya maja pama datana Viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities and the devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Seas, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkadang Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddha To Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opadaiko Pachyatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato Sauka Sango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sauka Sango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now we shall continue from page 108. We are at the Q&A section. So question one is, somebody asks, can one attain enlightenment through only listening and without meditation? So this is a very common and yet a very good question. So at that time, I think it was about 12 years ago, 12 or 13 years ago. Then I answer, I say, yes. And there are many cases of this happening even during the time of the Buddha. We can actually retrieve all these facts or what they call confirmation from the teachings itself. On many occasions, the Buddha actually mentioned them. Take for example, Venerable Kondanya and Sariputta and many others. So normally such people are able to awaken only through hearing is because of their past cultivation and perfection of paramis. Most of these people have in fact cultivated sincerely and diligently before in the past. So that is the reason why in this life they will have the causes and conditions to awaken just via listening to the Dhamma. So this hearing of the Dhamma actually corresponds to the first turning wisdom called Sutamaya Panya. Wisdom born of hearing the sutta or the discourse of the Buddha. So this one I think is relatively easy to understand. But if you are not a cultivator, maybe you may have doubt. That's the reason why people ask that question. Because to them is, you must meditate to become enlightened. You must meditate to develop the transformation. But then people didn't really understood what the Buddhist meditation is all about. The Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha is very unique. It's not about sitting, sitting, and sitting. Of course, the main posture which most people do during the time of the Buddha is sitting. Well, during that time, you don't have the modern amenities like chairs and couch or cushion and all those things. And most of the time, they walk. Then, even eating or going about resting, they actually sit. But most of the time, it's cross-legged. During my younger days, I can still remember the 50s and 60s when I was born, then I go through my childhood. So our house, there's only one table for our dinner and other things. Then the chair is usually enough for each and every member of the family with one or two surplus. But apart from that, we don't have any place together except sitting on the floor or on the stool, the low stool. But most of the time is gather and sitting on the cement flooring. Of course, my father has a small medical shop, Chinese medical shop. He got the long bench where he used it to prepare his medicine. There's a hole somewhere. And I used to work there too. So these are the reason why sitting has been thought of as like a common posture when you talk about meditation. That's why you go to temple, especially Theravada tradition. You see when they gather, then the monk, they will sit either on a cushion or floor. Then for those who are more elderly, maybe they are given chair, especially the senior monks or senior member of the Sangha. Then when they are invited to deliver a Dhamma talk or hold a Dhamma session, they may sit on the chair. Apart from that, they usually sit cross-legged on a cushion just above a floor. So coming back to the question of understanding, meditation is very important. What is it that the Buddha meant by meditation? So the The word meditation, in fact, you check up the dictionary, is a very loose word. Anything you use to train the mind is called a meditation. So initially, you train the mind to do loving kindness. They call it loving kindness meditation, or in Pali is metta bhavana. But you use your mind to train yourself in yoga, then they call it yoga meditation. Then qigong meditation, tai chi chuan meditation. So all sorts of meditation, or what we call, sometimes they call it by their naming, like Hindu meditation, Christian meditation, Buddhist meditation, then Zen meditation, and in Japan it's called Zazen, then Tibetan meditation. So all these are the various form of label or name that they use. Then some they go through chanting, and you may not understand how can chanting be a meditation. So people don't understand. As I've explained before, there are understanding behind. If you don't have the understanding, then you can be quite confused. Then some call it thought-based meditation, energy field. And some call it mindfulness meditation, or I prefer the word awareness-based meditation. Being aware is just that pure awareness, nature's awareness, just aware before the knowing, before the arising of the thought process, before the pure awareness, nature create thinking, thought process, before the aggregate of mind arise, means before that mundane thinking or mundane mind perceive, feel and create the activity of mind states after they react and stir their mind. We are what they see, what they hear, what they smell, what they taste, what they tactile, feel and think. So these are the commonly defined or applied ways to meditate. But then if we look at the teaching, basically the Buddha actually explain it very clearly under his first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, after he finally became fully enlightened underneath the Bodhi tree. Then he developed the understanding, the joy, he connected back. Then for 49 days to 7 weeks of beautiful contemplation and reflection, he developed very complete understanding of what this thing is, the so-called Dhamma, followed by meditation, means according to his understanding, meditation as taught by the Buddha, or you can call it the pure Buddhist tradition, meditation. So the Buddha defined meditation in a very simple and yet complete way. Under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he actually proclaimed the Four Noble Truths in his three turnings. He said even he himself, as a bodhisattva earlier on, before he actually cultivated or connect back and realize the Four Noble Truths and his tree turning, he cannot proclaim to be the enlightened being. Yeah. That's why this teaching is very important. Then he started off by saying, avoid the two extremes. The two extremes of sensual indulgence and self-mortification. The reason being, he went through that 6 years of trial and error to realize this truth. And during this period, he realized that before he go for, he was having the good life provided by his father. As a prince, he enjoyed many things, the four palaces for the four seasons. And everything is full of sensual indulgence. So, or they call it sensuality level very high. So that's why he said that way is not the way to realize the truth, to go forth. So he left that. So sensual indulgence, when you indulge too much of the senses, it is not conducive for the understanding of truth, the Dhamma, to awaken. Then after that, during that 6 years, he also met many teachers and they were all told to actually go through what they call self-mortification, believing that the more you can endure this type of self-mortification, then your karmic negativity, the karmic debt can be paid off. Then when you have the parami ready for enlightenment, you can become enlightened. Yeah. But then he tried the most extreme self-mortification until he almost died. He was left with really skeleton and skin. Then because of his past perfection and parami, there were causes and conditions. Then there is a lady, Sujata, who make aspiration and vow to offer the monk rice to a future Sammasambuddha before he become enlightened. So because of that, when he received the offering, he decided to eat again. Yeah. Then after that, he felt his body more healthy, more conducive. Then there were some causes and conditions that make him convinced that this is the way to avoid the two extremes that have a reasonably more healthy body for him to really meditate and strive on. That's why after that he made this a very severe aspiration or affirmation. He said he will not arise from that spot underneath the Bodhi tree if he does not realize full enlightenment, even at the risk of dying or what. But he dared to make that aspiration because he saw a sign. After he finished the monk rite, he made an aspiration. He said, show me a sign if my journey for enlightenment is meant to be. Then he threw the empty bowl into the river. It seems, according to the sutta, there was a sign. And that bowl, empty bowl, instead of going downstream, he went upstream. That's why he was full of joy. Then he meditated. Then he was full of faith, convinced. Then he meditated. Then that fateful night, everything fall into place. Although the Mara come and test him, it seems, according to the Jataka story, he was tested by the three beautiful manifested daughter of the evil being. But he passed them all because of his parami. Then he connected back. Then he realized the enlightenment. Then when he realized the enlightenment, he was challenged again. And yet he confidently proclaimed and did all those mudra and affirmed his realization and enlightenment and confirmation of his perfection. That's why after that, he went through the 7 weeks. Then after that, he decided to rest. While resting, he contemplated, and he was actually at that time reluctant to share what he had understood with the world. So because of that, he just said what he has realized is too profound and not easy for a living being to accept or human being to accept. So he just let it be. Then one Brahma from the Brahma line, I think, can read Sakyamuni Buddha's thought. He came down, paid respect, circumvented 3 times, then humbly request the Buddha to actually go forth and teach. He said there are some with little dust in their eye who can understand him. Then at that moment, Sakyamuni reflected. He said, yeah, there are some, the 2 teachers that taught him. If they are around, if they listen to him, they will become enlightened very fast. Then he surveyed the world and checked. One of them already passed away, I think 1 week ago. Then the second one just passed away 1 day earlier. Because of their vow, they believe that meditative state of 7 and 8 jhana for the 2 respective teachers are the ultimate that they were looking for. That's why they must pass away before Sakyamuni officially came out and teach the Dhamma. Then he reflected. He said, oh, the 5 ascetic that was with him might understand. Then he was convinced. Then he surveyed the world and he knew where they are. Then he decided, he thanked the Brahma and he decided to walk towards that direction. That's how the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, comes about. So according to that Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he proclaimed the 4 Noble Truths after advising the 5 ascetics to avoid the 2 extremes. He proclaimed the 4 Noble Truths. Then he turned it 3 times. And each turning corresponds to a type of wisdom that is unique and peculiar based on his understanding and teaching. So the first turning wisdom, when he turned it, just by proclaiming the 4 Noble Truths, then he said, these are the 4 Noble Truths. First is the Noble Truth of suffering. Then the 8 conditions that follow. Then he proclaimed the 2nd Noble Truth. He said, there is a cause behind all suffering. And the main cause is craving, born of self-delusion or sakyadhiti. Means, he not only explained to the ascetic the reality of life and existence. But he also explained to them the prevalence of suffering. So when they understand this, then he moved on to the second noble truth to proclaim and give them the understanding that the cause behind is craving, born of their sakkayaditti or self-delusion. We are grasping onto the five aggregate of form and mind, which is the human being or living being, as the I and the me, as a permanent unchanging entity where they can develop the egoic mind to cling on to things, to hold on to things, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. And that one is a severe wrong view, sakkayaditti, self-delusion. You see, from there, you arise the personality, or what he called the ego. This ego, when it arises and manifests, and you believe you exist, you are real, you are a permanent, unchanging entity that can own things, have things, and crave and desire for things, then that one will trap you. Well, from there, you become selfish. You become egoic. Then you develop a lot of craving, a lot of desire, attachment, clinging, grasping. Then when you cannot get what you want, you get angry. You become afflicted, miserable. Then when there is jealousy, envy, you also become very negative. Then when you cannot understand something, you develop fear, worry, anxiety. And finally, due to attachment, you grasp, you cling, you develop sorrow, lamentation. So all this are mental suffering leading to deep resentment and finally that cocoon of wrong thought, trigger of depression. So those who have depression, they become mentally afflicted, very miserable. So knowing the prevalence of suffering, that life is full of suffering if you don't have the Dhamma understanding, then from the second noble truth, you know the cause behind, means at least you can manage your life to avoid all this suffering. We are rooting out sakkayaditti or self-delusion. That's how all the subsequent teaching follow. Then the Buddha proclaimed the third noble truth. After that, he said, suffering need not be. You don't have to go through suffering. Basically, you can live a good life. You can develop understanding of life. Then you can realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. So that suffering need not be, so that you don't have to go through all this suffering. Then when you understand life, you know how to live life, then you can live life to the fullest. You can realize the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Then life becomes meaningful. Life takes a turn and you become like, for the first time, so happy, so full of joy. Because when you can come and live life without suffering, that is the most beautiful things to happen. That's why this teaching is very unique. Then he proceed on from there. He didn't just tell you that enlightenment in the here and now is possible, suffering need not be. He went on to teach the fourth noble truth. He said there is a fourth noble truth. He said, you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the enlightenment in the here and now. It will end all your suffering. That's why all suffering can be ended or rooted out or terminated if you cultivate this noble eightfold path and have the embodiment of the noble eightfold path cultivation or path factors that make you noble ones. Noble ones are enlightened ones during the time of the Buddha. And they are called noble ones because they are very noble in all aspects of their life. The way they understand life, the way they arise their thought process, the way they communicate and have relationship with people, the environment, nature, everything. Yeah. Then they are very noble in their understanding of life, all aspects. And because of that, they have great parami. They are perfect in wisdom and virtue. That's the reason why the enlightened being, they become different. We call them noble ones because they are very noble in the way they arise their thought process, the way they speak to people, communicate, and the way they live their life, and also the way they act. They are so beautiful because of their wisdom, their virtue, their perfection, their understanding. So this Noble Eightfold Path, you must cultivate the Four Noble Truths and this Three Turning, then only perfect it. Yeah. So after he proclaimed this Four Noble Truths, that is called the First Turning, then whoever who has cultivated in the past before, upon hearing, like Kondanya, before even the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta was fully proclaimed, he already became enlightened. He realized the first stage of sainthood, Sotapannaship. Whereas the other four ascetics, they are still not enlightened yet. But then, after that, the Buddha continued with the second sutta, Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the sutta on non-self or anatta, which is also defined as not a permanent unchanging entity, means there is no such thing as a self within the form and mind, within the living being or the human being. This form and mind or human being is not a permanent and changing entity in the sense that it's dependent originating, condition arising. It's just a phenomenon supported by three causes and conditions. The first condition is the life force or the karmic force. You must have that. Then you must have a rebirth consciousness that is trapped within your physical. That's why the life force or the karmic force that support us, that one pump our heart and send the blood to nourish all the other organ. Then the consciousness that is trapped inside can actually assist in the arising of the sense basis thought process. The six sense basis can give rise to six types of consciousness. Then through the brain, the accumulated views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, etc., the knowledge, it can input the content. That's how it forms the thought process. So, as a human being, we are capable of arising the six types of respective sense dog consciousness, we can become a conscious being, conscious of what we see, hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think. Then from there, we can perceive the world, we can know the world. That's how we know the world. That's why the phenomenal world of consciousness arises through the conscious mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind. Then when you can know the world, you can also interact with the world using your mundane mind, your mundane thinking, your mundane response. So all this is taught under the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Yeah. Then the Buddha, during that time, civilization was not so advanced, not so sophisticated. What he teaches is very simple. He teach the monk to understand the five aggregate. He break the human being into the form aggregate, means our physical body, physical form. Then inside the aggregate, the consciousness which is trapped inside, he break it down into four more aggregate. So to understand this four aggregate, we only need to ask ourselves, what can our mind do? And then the aggregate of feeling will arrive. Where your mind can feel hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant, can give rise to various emotions and mind states. That's why feeling can become emotion. Initially, it's just feeling pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral feeling. Then, from there, when you don't have the wisdom and understanding, you stir your mind, react, and create anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, sometimes joy, or whatever. Then when you meditate, your mind state becomes tranquil, peaceful, still. Then you experience all this. Then you experience the jhanic factor, piti, sukhang. Of course, initially it's applied thought, sustained thought, vitaka, vichara. Then egagata, one-pointedness of mind. Then you also experience all the various negative emotion, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity. All this can be experienced. Yeah. That's how we become a living being, a human being for our case. And initially it's like very interesting. You can have the senses to enable you to enjoy the sense experience. You can see all of the what they call sight and sound. Sight is what you see. That's why you have a lot of this multimedia and even video, TV, or all the various type of channel where you can really enjoy your senses. And there are shows that have named by ticket to indulgence. You can indulge into your sensual experience. Means sight and sound. Then the food, the drinks, the life, the luxury of the nice car, mansions, transportation, everything now. Now the world has become so advanced, so different. You have the means and the understanding, you can really have the good life. But the reality of birth, old age, sickness and death is a universal reality. They will continue to manifest. And you don't have the Dhamma understanding and wisdom, they will continue to haunt you and give rise to suffering when you attach, cling and grasp on to all this without understanding. So because of that, The Buddha asked, "Is the body you?" The monk replied, "Initially, of course, they say yes." Then the Buddha said, "If it's you, then why does it tend towards suffering? Because when it wants to get sick, it never tell you, it never ask permission. Then there are a lot of things like not within your control. When condition manifests, it will just happen. Then this body go the way of nature. It's of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. That's why finally the reality within. That's why the five daily contemplation. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die finally. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. Well, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. Because the Buddha said, if is self belongs to you, if it doesn't go the way of nature, then you can command it and say, may this body be such and such and such. May it not grow old, not get sick and die. May it forever youthful, beautiful. But that is not the reality. That's why he said, whatever that is not a reality is not a permanent unchanging entity, and you shouldn't cling on to it. Because if it's you, it will not tend towards suffering. Feeling is the same. Is it permanent? Then when he asked the word, is it permanent, they straight away realize it's impermanent. It go the way of nature. It get old, it get sick and die. Feeling also come and go. It's impermanent. Then from there, does it tend towards suffering? Yes, it tends towards suffering. Then he summarized it. Whatever, especially the five aggregate of form and mind, is it? Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vinyana. If it's impermanent and tends towards suffering, is it right to say, this is me, this is I? Therefore, I can grasp onto it, cling onto it, and want it otherwise. They say, no, sir. That's how the answer came. But for me, I developed it through another way, which is more powerful and more like easier to comprehend. Yeah. Because the five aggregate of form and mind, like I said, is feeling you. If feeling is you, what will happen? When pleasant feeling become unpleasant feeling, did you die? When those feeling or emotion pass away, did you die? Of course we know that feeling come and go, we still around with it. So how can feeling be us? And to me that is very clear, very straightforward. Then perception also arise and pass away, but I didn't die. Then all the thought activity, sankhara, mental activity, mental states, mental intention, mental volition, everything that the mind can do, the sankhara, activity and movement, they arise and they pass away, and yet I didn't die. Consciousness too, when they arise and pass away, I didn't die. So how can they be me? If feeling, perception, sankhara activity and consciousness and the form, they are not me, then I don't have a problem anymore, understand? But the question is, if they are not me, why did it arise in me? Why did they arise in me? Then I start to question, who am I? What am I? If this five aggregate of form and mind is not me, then is there another entity that I can detect or come to realize through my meditation which is beyond this five aggregate, that I can develop the wisdom to understand. That's why if you go by thought-based meditation, you cannot understand. You are lost in thought. You are limited by the instrument of thought. But if you develop sati-based or awareness-based meditation, then you can realize that when you are quiet, completely quiet, still and tranquil, without thought, there is an entity, the essence of mind, the pure awareness nature. And that nature is not a being. And that nature manifests when thought ceases. That's why you realize there is another nature inside, beyond the thought, beyond the mind. But that one is not a being. It cannot come out and live like, it cannot own thing, it cannot have thing. It doesn't have words, concept, nothing. But that one is very powerful. It's capable of direct seeing. It's capable of seeing things as they are and giving rise to the understanding and the wisdom. It's capable of the direct seeing that allow the form and mind through the pure awareness to insight into phenomena and awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. To realize the three universal characteristics leading to non-delusion, no more sakkhadiṭṭhi, liberation of the form and mind. So when the mundane mind realizes itself and sees, then nibbana in the here and the now, or enlightenment in the here and the now, cessation of form and mind can arise, become possible. That's how enlightenment comes to be. So this very powerful Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta and the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta actually help a lot of monks to awaken. So coming back to the question, you don't really need to meditate. We are through hearing, but that one you must have good parami from the past. Otherwise you hear so no use, because it doesn't bring forth the understanding. But since they have cultivated before, the moment they hear truth, they can awaken. Like my nature, same. When I was born, my mind very quiet, very still. I hardly got any thought until I was 5 years old. Then when I was transferred back to a very notorious small hometown, somewhere Alastair in the north, I start to mingle and mix with society, and because it's a notorious area where there is a lot of gangsterism, everything. So my mundane mind was exposed to all those things. So the conditioning of what went in. But then very strange, because of my past, certain things that happened to me when I was young, it has a great impression on me, which I know. This is something very strange. Because I can develop the understanding that it is something to do with my past. Otherwise, I wouldn't be experiencing all this. And it showed it to me. Then at the age of about 17, I remember, 1971, when I was in 4 or 5, I start to probe the universe. I look at the sky, the night sky with all the stars. Then I ask myself, who am I? What am I? Why am I here? Then suddenly, from the nature, there is an answer. You have to meditate to understand. And surprisingly, that answer convinced me that I like to see all the swordsmanship type of show where they show a lot of wise people or great cultivator sitting in the cave and meditating and all those things. So at that time, I didn't know what was meditation, but I know the answer was you had to meditate to understand. So that was the history of it. Well, after that, everything happened. Everything started after 1971. As I since 1971, I started to inquire, probe. Then my journey in search for truth started. Then, of course, a lot of things is tied to the Dhamma. Yeah, I was given one book. The first edition of the book written by our late Chief Reverend Kesari Dhammananda, What Buddhists Believe. When I saw the Four Noble Truths inside there, it's like I understood the truth straight away, you know, I knew. Oh, this is unique. Whomsoever, I say, we are according to history, the Buddha, 2,600 years ago, you know, after his enlightenment, can come out with the Four Noble Truths and his tree turning and summarize all of life, you know, both mundane and super mundane, into that Four Noble Truths. I say, he must be the real one. So after that, no turning back. I didn't even want to know about other religion, although sometimes through curiosity I read out a bit and I Google through the internet. But there was none that can come near to this so-called amazingly unique Buddhist teaching, the Dhamma. That's why after that, I came to understand a lot of things on my own through hearing. Through reading, the understanding arises. So, first turning is through hearing the proclamation. So nowadays, the Buddha no more. Maybe you have to listen to people who has the understanding, or who can teach you, or guide you. Or you can, nowadays, maybe read up from books, Google, from the internet. But you need to screen it. Because not everything written on the book are authentic truth. You need to have the past understanding to screen it. Even internet also same. A lot are not what you think. Then after that, the Buddha continued to turn the Four Noble Truth for the second time. So the first turning is we are listening, or what they call nowadays, you can read it up, reading or Google. Then you develop the wisdom, the first turning wisdom, Sutamaya Panya. Then you can become enlightened. Then the second turning, the Buddha say, if you reflect on it, contemplate on it, then inquire into it. Then you develop deeper understanding. Then that deeper understanding will stabilize and become what we call Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom. So that type of wisdom, born of constant contemplation, reflection, and inquiry onto the Four Noble Truths that has been taught by the Buddha, constitute the second turning wisdom, which is called Cintamaya Panya. But under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Buddha gave very important guidelines or pointers. Under the second noble truth, he said, this noble truth of dukkha, or suffering, the first noble truth, is to be understood. Yeah. So this one, second learning, you can understand it good enough. Yeah. But under the third learning, which is all related to enlightenment, and that one is the meditative approach. The wisdom is called Bhavana Maya Panya. Bhavana is the meditative training, means you have to meditate, yeah, awareness based. Then you will awaken. Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom, Panya is wisdom, wisdom born of meditative training. Under that one, the Buddha say, this first noble truth of dukkha has already been understood. Second turning is to be understood, that's why you had to inquire. How can I understand it? Then why did the Buddha say, this noble truth of dukkha, the reality of life existence, the irreality, is to be understood. Then after that, how can I understand? That's why you go through the proclamation and the teaching, reflect, contemplate, and develop the inquiry to stabilize the understanding. That's how the second noble truth, wisdom, can arise. So first noble truth, wisdom, is through constant listening or reading. Yeah. Or through the internet, you Google, and you read. Then, second turning, you reflect, contemplate, inquire, stabilize the understanding. Then the third one is via the direct seeing, the pure awareness, the silent mind, to insight into phenomena. So when the Buddha gave the pointer, this noble truth or dukkha has been understood. Means what? You have understood the proclamation, the cause of its arising, the cessation of dukkha, the third noble truth. Then you have already cultivated the noble eightfold path. That's why has been understood means you know what it is, you know the cause behind its arising, you know how to end it, and you know how to develop the cultivation to end it. That's why the third turning wisdom is very penetrative, all about penetrative understanding of the Dhamma. Then, of course, there is a second turning. The cause of its arising is craving, bono sakkayaditi. So under the second turning, he say, this craving, bono sakkayaditi, is to be severed or to be rooted out via wisdom. Yeah. Then the third turning is a, this craving and sakkayaditi has already been severed or rooted out. That's how it led to enlightenment. Then the third turning, the third noble truth, this cessation of dukkha is to be realized. The second turning. And the third turning is this cessation of form and mind, which is the realization of nibbana in the here and now, has already been realized. Means you already realize nibbana, enlightenment. So all these are very clearly described in the teaching. Then similarly, the fourth noble truth, under the second turning, is it this noble eightfold path has to be cultivated. No more understand. No. You understand what it is, no use, no, like the first noble truth. He said this noble eightfold path is to be cultivated. Then you must inquire, how can you cultivate it? That's why you must go through all the noble eightfold path factor. What constitutes right view, right thought, right speech, right action. Then right livelihood, the four right effort. Then right mindfulness and samadhi. So all this, you have to go through them. That's why it's a very big field of cultivation. And the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta followed by Anatta Lakkhana Sutta is very powerful. It can lead to enlightenment in the here and the now. So now I will go back to the question. Eh? Then you can understand why without having to meditate, you can also realize enlightenment. And that one is mainly based on your past cultivation through listening. The first turning wisdom, you can become enlightened. Yeah. That's why it's called Sutamaya Panya. Okay, so hopefully this is clear. Today, what I have described is very detailed. Huh? On based on the question asked, do you need to meditate to become enlightened? Just by listening, you can also become enlightened. So that one, I went through the history of it, Dhammacakkappavattana, and how the teaching come about, the three turnings and all that. So do listen to it. It will help you develop much more clear understanding of what this unique teaching of the Buddha is. Okay, now we go on to the next question. The next question also very useful and very important. And I think this question was asked by a sister, Sister Man Yuan, if I'm not wrong. So here the question is, how do we apply the Dhamma to deal with someone who is very irritable, who throw things in front of you, and rather unfriendly towards you? So I think in the career field or within your family, sometimes you encounter this type of people. So when you encounter this type of people, how can you apply the Dhamma to deal with them? So according to Man Yuan at that time, when he asked the question, he said, apparently he is such because of the way he has been brought up. So we can't really blame him. And I don't know how to deal with him. That is what she wants to understand. Then I reply her by asking her back a question. Is he or she, at that time I'm not sure, one of your family members, or is she or he your friend? Then she replies, yes, she is one of my family members. I think it must be he. Never mind, it's either a he or a she. Then I replied, I said, okay, so you listen to this. This one, I think, next session we can still discuss it. Or maybe during the Q&A after this. So I told Sister Man Yuan and the class at that time, I remember, I said, to apply the Dhamma is very simple when you understand. Qualify with the word when you understand. So to apply the Dhamma is very simple because you just have to follow Noble Eightfold Path. Then Noble Eightfold Path say must have right view to accept them for what they are, isn't it? To see things as they are, or accept them for what they are. So she is just the way she is. So have the right understanding or right view to accept or perceive her accordingly. So the right understanding and right view to accept her for what she is very important. If you can do that, what happened? Then you will be at peace. If not, you will react and perceive her with negativity, which you had described via your own question. So this one is very obvious. Because she labeled her as very difficult. Then a lot of negative perception of that person. Then I say, this is the suffering that will arise when you perceive her with negativity or he with negativity. Because you start to dislike the way she talked to you, we are irritable, disturbing, lack of understanding and all those things. So when you react and stir your mind, you are not at peace. Then you have mental agony or suffering. That's why I say this is suffering that will arise when you are with people whom you don't like, as described by the Buddha under his first noble truth. I think the sixth reality. And the cause behind is your craving, born of your self-delusion. So to overcome this self-delusion and craving, you will have to accept her for what she is. Then learn to arise the right thought after having the right view. Then arise a pleasant and gentle right speeches following the Noble Eightfold Path to deal with her. Do not react or reason with her, because it will not bring about a solution to her so-called problem or negativity, as you have perceived earlier on. But this type of people, they are very stubborn. very difficult to make them change, yeah, or even try to reason with them or talk them out of it, yeah, or change them. Mm. That's why I use the word have love and goodness of heart to understand her. Means you look at her without negativity, no negativity of mind state. Have love means have compassion. Then goodness of heart means you are kind-hearted, compassionate and understanding cultivator, because you can understand her for what she is. It's not because of her, it's because of her delusion, her karmic negativity, her condition. So all this you will understand. Yeah. So have love and goodness of heart to understand her. Then radiate metta, very important. Wish her well. May she be well and happy. May no harm come to her. May she be peaceful, happy, and radiant always. Yeah. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within her heart. So all this will help. Eh? And when you radiate metta and good wishes, and you make aspiration to help her change for the better, all this can bring about benefits and change. Yes, it can help the person. Yeah. Then the other one that I mark bold on is very important. With mindfulness, awareness, sati, observe her and await for the right condition to counsel her and bring her back to the Dhamma fold when causes and conditions are there or appropriate. So slowly, with patience, loving kindness and wisdom, she will come to accept you one of these days. So this is a concise, beautiful answer. So if you can apply it, it will help you. Okay, now exactly 4:15, we can have our meditation now. So we will off the light so that you all can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Then after that, we will have our second session. So 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Always remember the four support. The first three, relax, maintain awareness, stabilize awareness. Then the fourth support for those who can stabilize their awareness already, stay at the heart area. Then no need to know, no need to do anything, just allow the mind to settle down and the awareness nature to detect the gateway or develop the movement from within. Okay. Now I let you meditate on your own. You can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness or mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state you need to use to live your life. Develop the daily mindfulness, stabilize it, and maintain awareness most of the time. Ability to be silent without thought is the beginning of stabilization of mindfulness. You can be more and more moment without thoughts. And most of the time, your brain up there, your mindfulness is very stable. Hardly any thought. Whatever you observe is just specific phenomenal awareness. And most of the time you don't need to think You may perceive, but no need to think. And you also come to realize when you progress, most of the time you do not stir or react or get excited to things anymore. You can still live life normally, but most of the time your Dhamma understanding and wisdom will enable you to be more at peace with every moment in life. And there is only joy, tranquility, stillness. Yeah. Then you just live. Mm. And your awareness will make you more and more sensitive. Mm. Okay, now we come back to second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by maybe whatever question you may have. And also like what I mentioned just now, the second question that we went through, how to deal with difficult people, which we already went through. We can discuss it if we really want to bring about better understanding. So this question is very important. How do we apply the Dhamma to deal with people who are very irritable, may even throw things at you, in front of you, or rather unfriendly towards you? Alternatively, you can also share Dhamma in daily life. Oh, Manyuan got a message. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu is a virtue. I think she recall.
Yes, Radio, good afternoon. Mrs. and Sui and all Kalinyamitas.
Yeah,
I remember this question very well.
Yeah.
And every time during the retreat, when Radio go through the Heart Sutra, this is always brought up again.
Yeah.
And Radio, very funny lah. Every time I listen and I recall recall the answer that you give to me, you always give, I see more light, I have more understanding.
Yeah, deeper understanding.
Yeah.
Because like, that is the way Dhamma works. As you understand better, as you progress, your penetration of understanding of the Dhamma become different one. On its own, it becomes different. That's why you will have a lot of joy, and then you start to like understand a very important point about cultivation. You will need to be patient. You cannot be like very fast. You want progress and you want to understand things very fast. Cannot. There is a what they call nature's condition towards it one. Unless you are diligent, you are very sincere, you have faith, then your path is very strong. Then as you put in more and more of this spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, then your progress will transform you and make you different, and you will understand it deeper and deeper. And as you progress, as you develop all this understanding, you have a lot of joy, because the same, question that you have heard the answer before, but over the years, like every retreat, every time I go through, even today I go through, the difference in the understanding is always there, and you will know how to pick it up, because these are familiar things. Then you can have the stability of understanding to listen attentively, which last time you may have like missed. Because like I say, when I share, it's for all level. So when you progress already, or you have gone through and developed more stability of understanding, then you listen again, the Dhamma message will surface. That's why normal people who have not progressed, who have not developed understanding, they cannot receive one. They cannot even like find it interesting one, because it's beyond them. They are not ready. There is no condition for them to receive or even have a slight initial understanding of what this thing is. That's the peculiarity of Dhamma. So now you will understand all this better and better, like the other Kayamitas, Alicia, they all, Puching, they all. Because you cannot rush on. Dhamma is like that. Okay, Manjan, yeah, back to you.
Yeah, Radio, maybe I know why I didn't understand, because Radio, you excuse me. The first time when I asked the question and Brother Theo answer, I actually thought, hey, how come Brother Theo didn't answer my question?
That time you cannot understand the Dhamma.
Yeah, very funny. But
to accept things as they are is not something very easy. But to most people, what is that? That is not the answer I want. You want something that you can use, and you can, through your thinking, get the answer. It's not like that. Accept means the wisdom make you free already. Understand? And to have the understanding to accept them for what they are, that penetrative transformation is not easy to come by for most people. You have to reach that level of understanding, then only you can understand what the Buddha say. People are just the way they are. Conditioned like that, things be like that. Then whatever arise, there are causes. All these are very penetrative wisdom. They point towards the Dhamma, point towards the truth, point towards the understanding. And when you understand, you hear, you awaken. But when you don't understand, is it like you are not telling me anything? Yeah. What is there to see things as they are? They are just the way they are. Because they cannot understand. Because they cannot tie up with the real answer. Deluded people say deluded thing. Then non-cultivator without the Dhamma, they will behave like that. To them, it's not irritable. To them, it's that's the way they are. They feel that that is the way they have to deal with people, react to a situation. But that is their habitual tendency. They are deluded way of doing things. So, and for normal people who cannot accept this type of reaction or people, they find it very irritable, like very unfriendly. How can human being be like that? So rude, throw things and do all those things. Because they use the thought to rationalize, and they have their own norm, which is based on their upbringing. It's just like the sharing last time I used to explain to certain people. You come from a notorious place where people do all sorts of nasty things. They speak a lot of bad words. They scold people. Then they speak very loud. To them, that type of environment is very normal. But when they do this to civilized people or people who are not subject to that one, where the exposure to their way of life is so different, they cannot accept them. They find these people very weird, like very uncivilized, unmanners, and a lot of foul language, a lot of foul words they use. And all the dirty language or dialect all come out. So that show to the world, the civilized world, that humanity from different background, different, I should say, culture, they behave differently than the way they interact, the way they communicate, the way they live their life, very different. We need to have that type of Dhamma to cater for all the various type of possibility of civilization and both Viet and non-Viet people. Otherwise, not easy. So now you start to develop better understanding, because you can understand now and you can accept more and more of what the world is and the way people are. That's why I say once you progress, you transform and you become different. You are most of the time happy, peaceful. You just smile. Very good.
Yeah. Brother, yes, the wisdom of that sentence, accept things as they are. Accept people as they
are. For what
are.
They are.
For what they are. They are like that.
They are just the way they are.
Correct.
When you understand, it becomes very meaningful, very beautiful. You can use it. But when you don't understand, to you it's very dry. What type of advice is this? Like you say, it's like I'm not advising you at all. But now you read again. Everything is so concise and so direct, point towards the Dhamma.
Yeah, I think because Radio, I was expecting a different answer.
Correct.
I was expecting Radio
to
tell me, okay.
The mundane mind wants thought-based answer. That which is very logical and can help you counter that guy on. But that one brings about more division, more conflict, more argument. That one cannot resolve on. In your own way, you say, you also don't know what to do with him already. You cannot handle him anymore. So that's all the, what they call, beautiful example where we can develop the understanding together. Because during that time, when you don't have the Dhamma understanding, you will really say, because of the way he is brought up, you try to justify for him so that you cannot really blame him. And then you say, I don't know how to deal with him anymore. So all this is when your condition is like that, you will believe possibly he is the way he is because of his upbringing. So living being, in many cases and circumstances, they use their thought process and they come up with this type of, I call it justification. But they got no answer. That's why I say without the Dhamma, most of the time, thought-based approach, they don't really solve the what they call situation or life situation or problem once and for all. Most of the time is short term. Maybe through certain type of reasoning, they feel good for a while. But when they meet the same situation, the memory recall, they react again, they stir again. Then they realize they still haven't come to terms. But they may use certain words. Aiya, like Brother Teo say, let go lah. Don't attach lah. Let him be lah. That is what they were. Quote me and apply the wrong understanding. And sometimes they even tell other Kayamita in the early day, hey, Brother Teo say, don't keep on. Just let things be. But that word let things be is so deep, no? Doesn't mean you don't act, no? Let things be means accept them for what they are. Then you look at the situation. If there is no condition to help or to manifest, then why you want to create more problem, unnecessary condition for misunderstanding to proliferate or to become worse? So you cannot help out a situation. You might as well let things be and just move away. That's our avoidance. But when there is condition, then you see that this is the appropriate condition for you to manifest and be of help to people or a blessing to others. Then you will know how to manifest. But most of the time, initially, you will just let things be until condition arise. Understand? You don't go and believe that there is condition, then you go and intervene. No. Better initially, the situation somehow will arise and you will be brought in one. That one is very good. That one means meant to be. Then you will know how to manage it. You will know how to sort out, help sort out the situation or the thing. That's why that type of wisdom is the more stable type. We call it accord and flow with condition. When there is no condition, just let things be. So when you accord and flow means you just let things be. But when there is condition, you accord and you will flow and you will know how to arise the appropriate situation to help or do something. So all these are the more refined understanding that cultivator will go through. Then when you have all this understanding and when you stabilize them, then you realize you really have the skill to act very well, and most of the time you will not have any problem at all. Then you become like very different. You like so different until sometimes you are not at fault. But you can also say, sorry if I have caused you any trouble. I don't mean it. Really, really sorry. I hope you understand. So all this, you can say, because you are not affected by what people do already. You're no longer angry, emotional, then want to hit out and want to be right and want to argue and to like send your message through. All this are contradictory to Noble Eightfold Path cultivation or understanding. That's why people who do that get themselves into more entanglement or situation in life. And that's the reason why the world is not that peaceful nowadays. You have a lot of these people around. And sometimes when you look at the way things manifest, we can also learn from nature. You look at the California fire. It is the first time I saw the whole development, like city or not, it's burned like that. And the government also cannot do anything. You can say they didn't respond fast enough. They are not as good as China or what. But the reality is, it happened to a society which is developed. And which is supposed to be a very powerful country. And yet this type of thing can happen. That's why within life, within nature, when it unfolds, you can learn. And now with technology, they can have the aerial photo before and after. So this, you can really see that a lot of people affected, they get very angry. Even that joke that Joe Biden make become very offensive to them. In the midst of that thing burning, he's supposed to go there and witness and send help or do something. Then while he was there, he received a good news. So he mentioned there was a good news. Then it turned out nothing to do with the people at the fire there in California. It's something to do with his family member. Somebody gave birth to some, don't know, grandson or what. I also forgot already the detail. Then the social media got very angry. How can the resident do that? Then the mayor also, the city mayor, they can't handle. So a lot of things in life is you can witness how the response come from the media, come from the people. Because when people are affected, they react. They simply say, even our society also same. You look at the recent thing. A lot of sensitive news. And people just have their opinion, keep on shooting out and pouring out. And nowadays, social media, like, very fast. it help you to spread the news. Because people like to forward nowadays. And a lot of these people who forward, I don't think they understand the consequence of their actions. So as society evolve and become more developed in inverted comma and affluent, more and more things are available. Then we start to see all these new phenomena, which in the past, most of the time, the news came late. By the time it arrived, that this thing is no longer of consequence or important. So all this, they are very good example where we can learn from. That's why you need to be mindful, aware, and you need to have the Dhamma. Okay, Manjan, you continue.
Yeah, Radio, the Dhamma is really wonderful. If you understand, you know, the unhappiness doesn't last so long.
Correct.
It won't drag on so long. I mean, if it does come out, but you understand immediately, you know, that
Yoni So Manasikara take over, then it subsides. It subsides, then you can laugh about it. Then you no longer like before, agitated until like the emotion keep on stirring inside. Your internal thought process dialogue, how can he do that? This is not right. And you are actually talking to yourself and developing all the negativity and response, which is also not accordance with Noble Eightfold Path. That's why to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, it's a wisdom skill that need to be applied until your yoniso manasikara stabilize your initial wisdom, your Dhamma wisdom. Then when they stabilize, you can see the transformation happening. Your habitual tendency starts to weaken. Then you start to have more wisdom to be at peace with more situation, more people, more condition. Then until one day you realize you are most of the time at peace and hardly anything can distract or disturb you anymore or create the reaction or stirring of the mind anymore. These are the sign of progress, transformation. Dhamma understanding has actually bring forth the transformation. And these are the phase of understanding that non-cultivator cannot go through. They cannot understand. That's why now in our sharing and discussion, it's so different, so much deeper than what normal cultivator will go through. That's why people like to listen to my short video is because of all this. But these are the things that they seldom hear before. They seldom receive as Dhamma understanding. And when they hear this, it's like they receive a lot of understanding. It's like new understanding that can transform them. Then I think, if I'm not wrong, yesterday I went with Su Yi, my wife, and Ben. We were at a cafe. I think Tanang Ayer or what, Sipak there. So we order something. Then my wife want to order some more, the kui, don't know what. So Sui went back and want to put in the order. Then there were two ladies in front. And surprisingly, that lady pay for us. That lady, we don't know her. Then Sui become very curious. Sui asked, "How did you know?" He said, "I heard." He said, "That one is Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo." He said, "I got a lot of gratitude. I wanted to express my thank all thing. I saw that on the video." He said, "But he have never met me." Then he saw me at the cafe. Then Sui came back, a surprise. "Wow, Daddy, that lady pay for you." Her name is what, Sui? Fei Fei. Fei Fei, you heard of Fei Fei?
No,
it is not from our Kayavita group, I think. But she said She has been listening, and for a long time she wanted to express her gratitude, but no condition. But today so happened, we were in the same cafe, and I sat opposite her at a small table. At first, we were supposed to take their table. Then I told Sui, I said, never mind, we stay here. Small table, I like the cushion there, more cozy. Then they came in, they sat there, exactly facing me. That's how she recognized me. So there are a lot of people which I may not know, or you all may not know, but they know me, very strange. That's why I say all this sharing has actually helped a lot of people. That's why you look at the subscribe portion. Now more and more, last time 600 something, now 700 something. So a lot of these are new people. Our Kayamita is less than 200. I mean, 500 plus is not from our Kayamita group. And they have been listening. And these are topics which are very dry. Not everybody interested. Well, these are not social media sensation news and also where you can have a lot of followers. This one, actually, to get people to follow you on the Dhamma talk and sharing, it's not easy. Not that many, unless your sharing has beneficial Dhamma inside there, where people appreciate and find it useful and interesting. Otherwise, it won't. So all these are happening. So when you are good news,
Sometimes I sit back and relax, then I'm thinking, hey, how come just now you think like that? Actually no problem, where you got problem? Sure got problem.
The way is no problem.
I think most of the time it's like that. Relax a bit lah. No problem. We go and do it onto ourselves.
Correct. But
person like what I asked Brother Dio earlier, be rude or whatever lah. But that is him lah. Like Brother Dio say,
accept. He is the way he is. Finish.
Maybe he even didn't. I mean, all the. The intention is not that. After that,
they don't have the intention to irritate you or what. It's the way you perceive them. And you created your own wrong thought that make you like perceive him with negativity. That's why you got a lot of description about his negativity. Irritable, not friendly, throw things, do all the funny things. It's because the way you perceive him as not the norm anymore. But we never understood human behavior. We cannot understand. They are just the way they are. Everyone is like that. They have their own past karmic conditioning, their own way of doing things, their habitual tendency, their views, their opinion, their religious belief, and they are what they call way of interaction with society and public and all those things. Sometimes with their own loved ones, family member also seem like your kids is your family member. So these are very good example of Dhamma understanding which we can actually share. That's why this Heart Sutta book is very good, because a lot of the questions from you all are very good from the Kayamita on meditation, on life itself, and all those things, where the Dhamma can really shine forth and develop the understanding for people to actually rejoice and apply. Of course, the learning process, the speed is different. Some people learn it over time. Take longer, some very fast. Like your case also over the years, you become better and better, you become more and more clear about the Dhamma, then the application part of the thing. So with all this, as you mature, later on you will have the skill to actually teach and share with people who are new, who cannot develop the understanding. Then you will be very patient. You will tell them, don't worry, don't worry. Last time I started, I also like you. I also cannot come to terms with what happened. Then all this, you can start to explain. Very good.
Yeah, it can be applicable not only to family, can be at least your boss, your colleague.
Your colleague or whatever. It's applicable to all.
Yeah.
All situation, all people.
Thank you, Radio.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Sorry to be so slow.
Don't worry. Slow but steady. There is a saying, slow but steady. It's better than no progress. Some people want to progress fast, end up they didn't even really learn. That one, fast but no learning at all, not steady at all. It hardly transform them or change them. Because they are too eager to know, too eager to progress. And what they go after is knowledge. Knowledge, thought-based knowledge that they think can let them handle the situation. And most of them are to counter people, to develop the strategy to counter and to argue, or tell people off, thinking that by doing that, they win the argument or whatever.
Yeah, Radio, if you go to the bookshop, they will have books like How to Deal with Difficult People.
But that one, or mostly, unless they have the Dhamma understanding, mostly, most of those are more towards the, like, after they go through life with some experience, they come out with some, like, better way of handling things. But it's not a complete solution based on Dhamma understanding. Most of the time is more towards the, I should say, life experience, where they know how to avoid a situation so that they will not get themselves entangled. Especially the advice for older people now. Now, older people above 60, above 70, you see on the social media they're sharing. Even recently, I think Suyan also shared quite a lot. Some other Kayamita also shared. They are teaching you ways to understand how you can become more happy when you age, for those above what. So what are the factors that can help you? And now they even include your exercise, your diet, and all those things. So you start to see all this. But there was one that include mindfulness. I saw recently. He said when you are more mindful, the Buddhist meditation, you have that mind state, it helps you, which is true. But like I said, it's not a complete Dhamma solution. It's because the Noble Eightfold Path, the embodiment, is usually not there. They may have a bit here and there. And some of the advice are not bad, I should say. Gone through afterlife experience, then they find that this is helpful, useful. And most people, they read it, then they feel excited because, but sometimes a lot of the thing that is said inside there, if you don't know how to screen, you can maybe get the wrong knowledge. Because not everything is authentic one, and everyone is different. Like I say, you need to actually screen it properly, then check against your own unique situation. It doesn't mean that everybody take the same thing or do the same thing, you will benefit from it. Not necessary. Like I say, every one of us is unique. Our DNA, our karmic background, our conditioning are very different. Then they go by certain standard, which of course, generally, based on scientific statistics, they could be most of the time appropriate or correct. It's like instead of looking at the weight alone, they look at your waist, obesity, honestly. So all these are the way they actually develop the understanding after observing what happened to them, or after hearing people sharing, then they observe around. Then they also come out with their own understanding, then they share. But for us who have the Dhamma, you will look at it slightly differently. Of course, some of the points are very useful. Some of it are worthy of reflection and contemplation, especially those that have the, what they call, wisdom inside there. Okay, Mayan, very good. Anything else you want to add?
I think that's about all of Radio.
Amitabha, Radio, Mrs. Gil, and all Kayanitas and Sister Manian for nominating me. Yeah. Radio to Radio for an interesting encounter with strangers that you don't know that had been listening to your Dhamma.
Actually, they were quite common.
Yeah,
very common.
That is very interesting to know, to see them, to see that they have gratitude towards Brother.
Yeah.
Really amazing, yeah. You know.
Correct.
Yeah, that they have this, to have this such a counter is it's meant to be also a virtue, you know.
Oh, sadhu.
Yeah, actually, I also find that you know, strangers treat you well, you know, on and off.
Yeah.
Also find it very strange, you know. The other day, I also went out with my husband, right? So we were on the MRT train. Then, I mean, it was crowded in the morning, so we didn't get a seat. It's okay, like, you know, we were standing. And then this stranger, you know, very strange, like, he looked at me, and then I didn't get anything, like, because that's not like, you know, they have this for elderly seats, you know, that you
They let you sit.
But this one is not, it is not an elderly seat that you may want to offer to elder
people,
you know, that requires the seat, you know. So this guy was at the middle seat, you know. So he looked at me, I looked at him, but I mean, I didn't react anything, you know, just stranger, don't know each other. But after a while, he want to offer me the seat. The funny thing is, he offer me the seat, really funny. Because there are so many people, so he just want me to sit there. Other people, and also he like has to block other people so that I can sit I can take over the seat.
Sadhu.
I mean, the way he do it is like very funny.
It just happened that vibration that you manifest. Sometimes, without them knowing it, they can sense it, they can feel it.
I also find it very strange the way he do it. But it was like strange, but very interesting that strangers can do this kind of thing, you know. On and off, they will do this kind of thing, you know.
Yeah,
and
that's why as you develop the cultivation, you realize that a lot of these strange things happen, and you realize that more and more people, they like you, and they can sense you, and they know you are different. Then they really do a lot of strange things that you never expect.
Correct.
Then there were many other situations, I remember, out of nowhere, suddenly they go and pay for my meal and my wife. Then when we want to pay, the restaurant owner say, "Hey, your meal has been paid by the other table." Then we look across, I cannot recognize them. But then they told me, don't worry, you say, but still, we are from Subang Jaya. Ah, then when they mentioned Subang Jaya, I start to know, because Subang that time a lot came to the club, but most of them, I don't really know them. Then, off and on also, we encounter a lot. There was a situation in Australia, Melbourne. So, my good family friends, Sam Lim, they are one family, go there. So, it was Vesak, I think, that year, more than 10 over years ago. So, they went to that so-called Theravada tradition temple, I think. A small vihara one. So, they were there. Then, they start, meet up, then they talk. Then, they mentioned that they are from Malaysia. No? Then Sam also said, I'm also from Malaysia. Then Sam asked, do you all know Brother Teo? Oh, Brother Teo, we know. Then it turned out, they also know me, but I don't know them. Then Sam came back and told me, they are his neighbor, no, in Australia, the house he bought. That's a small one. And he met them. And many people, they heard about me, but I really don't know them. Then when I travel with my classmate recently to our bi-monthly dinner, every 2 months we have one MU graduate, ex-graduate classmate dinner. We were on the MRT, because now at our age we prefer not to drive. So 6 of us were on the MRT. So when we went in, the 6 of us, you know, like at our age, 7 series already, most of us have this type of look with the white hair or something. So we were standing there. Then surprisingly, there was one whole row of seat in front of us. Then got one young, relatively young, I think about 30 or 30. He looked at me. Then he offered the seat to me. Oh yeah, I said, thank you so much. Then after I sat down, the rest also paiseh, younger one, all one by one start to stand now. Then 6 of us get to sit on that row. That's why this sort of thing do happen. A lot of joyful but strange phenomena. And I can see in them, they have a lot of joy. Especially, I say, thank you so much, it's very kind of you. They feel the joy. That's why we must have more and more of this understanding to make people feel good. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is very useful. Gratitude towards people, thank people, say some kind words towards people. Because they really have that, what they call goodness. They offer their seat to us. It's just like you receive that seat from that person. So all this are like day-to-day happening that can happen to cultivate all the way. You remember last time I used to share, initially when you transform and you have the Dhamma already, the first person who really observe and see you changing is somebody close to you. They look at you, they know. This person different already. Then later on, other Kayamita will also know. Then your virtue, your understanding will transform you and develop the virtue in you. Your vibration all become different. That's why your, what they call, there's an English word called what? Like you can draw people to like you, is it? Om or what? White. You have good white. And people, for no reason, they smile to you. And they observe you. That very strange thing can happen. Then you know already. You have progressed well already. Means you are now starting to reap the what they call fruit of your hard work, which you have developed and done. then you realize your life become very different. Most of the time you are very happy, joyful, peaceful. And you are no longer like last time, moody, full of like unhappy thought inside there. Then people can sense, you know. People, when they see you, they know this one better don't go near. But when you are peaceful, joyful, you have the vibe, you become different. I realize wherever I go, people observe me, people sense. And when they talk, they are very respectful. Very respectful. Very good, Pucheng. Yeah, you continue. Sorry to take up your time.
Sadhu, Bharatiyo, Kanan and full of gratitude for your teaching, your Dharma teaching that helped a lot of us and also especially myself. And what I want to share related to what Brother Teo and Sister Manian shared earlier on, but it's not about handling or dealing with difficult people, but as a mother, I would say from
the Sadhu, that was also very important.
From a mother to her children,
That one is the most difficult to handle.
That is the most difficult. Okay, I want to relate this story since it's kind of not dealing with difficult people, but dealing with my children. So, okay. When my son was younger, he had a girlfriend. About relationship, So he had a girlfriend and he was still studying, So, of course, when he had a girlfriend, he was very happy, that he's happy, and therefore he tell me that, oh, mom, I have a girlfriend. And when I knew about it, and I was a little bit concerned at that time, because he was having his A-level exam, and he has a girlfriend. And this girlfriend always come to the house and learn from him. And then my husband, my boy said, my son said, I'm helping her with her studies. So I was thinking, you're going to have exam, A-level, and it's very important. And you're helping another person, younger, and at that time, this person was just sec 2 only, So then I was concerned, so I said, maybe don't help her now, maybe help later, Let you finish your exam, do your own study first, finish your exam, then you help her. I'm okay with that, So, but then they continue, I know you cannot stop children from
Because they have their life.
Yes, yes. So it goes on, but then I realized that this girl is a lot younger than him, and very immature, the girl was very immature, the way she did things, the way she behaved, that kind of thing, kind of lead me to think that she's immature. And of course, my son also immature, Maybe they are both at a young age. So I told my son, this person not very suitable, this girl not suitable. Not that I don't like her, it's just that not suitable. It's almost like you're babysitting her, That's what I used at the time, That was many years before I went into the Dharma. The time I haven't even learned Dharma yet. Okay. So that is what I tell him. But then, as usual, my son said, what do mother knows? She thinks she knows a lot of things, but she knows nothing, Because at that time, I was a full-time mother at home already. I wasn't working already. So children is like that. Once you stop working, you know nothing, They had that kind of feel the thought, to tell them, you know nothing. I know better than you, the kind of thing, So I let it be, I never kind of anger him, because at that time, it's a major exam for him, so I don't want to make him angry. So I let things be, And after a while, maybe probably 2 months like that later, she came back and told me, mother, you're right, My friend also tell me the same story, she's too young for me, I'm like a babysitter to her like that. Then I said, oh, very good. Very good, you realize, you get the experience of it, So sometimes you can't reason with them, they have to experience it themselves.
They have to find out themselves,
Find out themselves. Okay, so this happened when he was younger, right? So years later, and he has grown up, so he also met another girl. This is the most recent one that I want to talk about, Brahadir. So, it's not that I don't like the girl at all, Brahadir. It's nothing to do with that, you know. Okay? But I just observe and I know that they are not suitable for one another, Brahadir. So, I, based on the first experience, right, I think it's not easy when boys and girls fall in love, so-called fall in love, Brahadir.
Yeah.
They like each other. They won't listen to you, right? They won't listen to you, one. Okay? So, how to talk to them to bring across the message, right? It's not really through your reasoning or to your explanation to them, you know, but more to, like, let that experience also. But then the thing is this, Brahadir, because now he's older, he's more matured, you know, okay? I would have certain expectation of him, you know, that he's more mature, he has some experience in relationship, so he knows, he should know better, you know. But again, it's not true, you know, Brahadir. But I only can guide him when there is opportunity, condition that
definitely. That should be the case.
Him and help.
But otherwise they won't listen one.
Yes. They have to have some hard knocks, some
before
they can realize it. Also, it's easier that way, they learn better, faster, that I tell them, you know, cannot. So what I can say, I told him this way. I said, it's not that I have anything against her, that I don't like her or not. It's nothing to do with that, you know. It's just about compatibility. But how I know it, I said, you have to go and find out yourself. I mean, I don't object you as a friend with her. So you all can go out and try to learn, understand each other, find out for yourself, you know. Because for me to tell you, compatible and with my own reasoning, not listening. So I let things be, let him go and experience for himself. So, but at the same time, Brahadir, because he's an older person already, so I kind of find that because my son is a very, loyal person, you know. He will not be the one to break the relationship. Okay? Or stick to the person, unless the person give up, you know. Then they will break up. My son is like that one. Once he liked the person, he will stick to the person, you know, until that the person give up, like for whatever reason, then they will break up. My son will not be the one that initiate the breakup. So that is what I realized, because he's a very loyal person on that, you know. So, and of course, he's very kind-hearted. He doesn't want to break anybody's heart. He's a gentle person and very kind-hearted person, you know. This is how I observe my son. Because of that, I can't do anything. I will let things continue, you know. So, actually, Brahadir, I have to be very, very patient. Very, very patient. And it's not that I don't like her, you know, Brahadir, really, you know. Okay. So, this relationship go on and on for 1 year, and after that, second year, it's like getting more and more serious, you know, Brahadir. More and more serious. So I said, okay, never mind. I actually seek guidance from Guan Yin. I offer light on my son's behalf, you know. Okay, I said, help him, guide him, you know, because he knows nothing about Dharma. He doesn't know anything about Dharma, you know. And he also doesn't know what is good for him also, you know. Okay, and as a mother, although I want to protect him, I cannot. So I said, Guan Yin, you can only help him, you know, shed light into his life and let him, guide him to go to the right path, you know. So I do that for 7 days, you know.
Sadhu.
7 days. And of course, I seek forgiveness on behalf of my son. Because he may have offended something.
Correct. Sometimes it's coming
back to the wrong thing, you know. Okay, so so I just let things be. After a while, right, I asked my son, you know, any objection from his her family side, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm.
Then she told me lah, the family also objected it. Then I say, huh. So they must have reason also to object it lah. Then he didn't tell me lah, because my son is the type that want to solve his own problem, you know.
Yeah,
so okay lah, let it be lah. Then after that, end of last year, so it's almost 2 years in Brazil, in this relationship.
Mm.
This is the longest relationship we had. So after that, he was sick for 1 week, you know. My son fell sick for 1 week. Then I said, very strange, he fell sick. Usually he doesn't, you know, he's quite healthy and strong. He fell sick for 1 week, and then very moody, not happy, the kind of thing, you know. I observed that. Then after that, see the doctor, okay, recover. Then the following week, fall sick again, you know. I see what is happening, you know. Something strange happened. So after that, I asked him, is something wrong with your relationship? Right? Then he wasn't very happy. He was like, ignore me, lah, you know. So I said, never mind, lah, because he's not well. I realized something is not right, lah. Huh? So I went in front of the Punyam, and I said to Punyam, you know, I said, okay, I suspect something is going on, lah, you know. I know my son is, I've been asking help for my son, you know. So instead of asking help for my son, I said to Punyam, I like to seek help for the girl, you know. Let the girl be mature enough to decide to break up with my son, you know, rather than my son decide to break up with the girl, you know. Because my son will not be the one to initiate to break up with the relationship. I said help them to develop the wisdom to make the right choices and decision in their life, you know, for one another. Okay, especially for the girl, so that she's sick. He find the right partner for her, okay, and wish her well, and have a good life with the right partner. So I'm seeking help for the girl instead of my son. I seek help for her because she will be the one that decide in the relationship, not my son, you know. Because my son will be very loyal and stick to it, but the girl will be the deciding factor. Because once the relationship is no good, the girl will be the one that initiate. I realized that, you know, but, so I seek help of him to shed wisdom in her, you know, to give her wisdom to make the right decision. Okay? So that both of them are not because, you see, sometimes relationship is like this, about you.
So finally, what happened?
It's not because you don't like each other, it's just that they're not compatible. Okay? That's it, full stop, you know. So after that, right? After that, a week later, I told my husband, you go ahead and ask the son what's going on, you know, with their relationship. So my husband, very interesting, he point to the photo in the son room, he point to the photo, on or off. Then my son said, off, oh, so simple. Well, I said, that is a very good way to ask a question to find out the answer, you know. So that
sometimes you just let things be, everything will just fall into place.
Yes,
don't worry. They have their life, their condition. Like the Buddha said, each and every one of us, they are born of their karma, heir to their karma, condition supported by their karma. They are what they are because of their karma. So all this will manifest. If it's meant to be, will be. Otherwise, don't worry, just let things
be. So it happened that, I mean, to me, I tell my son, it's not that you all don't like each other, it's just that you're not compatible to stop, you know. It's not that I stop you from being friends with her, you know. It's not that. It's just not compatible, you know. It's not meant to be. So so when she break up with you, you know, I mean, not that you don't like her anymore, lah. It's just that not compatible. She realized it, so let it be, you know, so that she won't hurt himself and she won't hurt herself in that relationship. So everything went out very well, but you. So I have to be very patient with them, you know, really.
Yeah.
This is the longest patient I've ever encountered in my life, you know? Especially when you have to deal with your own children, you know. You want to
not
help
easy,
them,
yeah,
to
not
guide
easy.
Them. It's not easy, you know, but it's not easy to guide them. You sometimes you cannot even say anything, you know. You just like you say, let things be, you know, let it unfold by itself, you know. When
Bu
you
Cheng,
help,
we have to end already, 6:03 already. Yeah, you summarize.
Okay.
You summarize.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I felt that patience is very important in this situation to deal with them, you know. And I only can come and help in when they have some trouble, you know. When he tell me this, then I will seek help. I can't even tell him what to do, you know. I can only ask Kunyam to like give him guidance and give her guidance to help them, you know, to solve their problem. I didn't even have to solve their problem. I can't even help to solve their problem. They have to solve it themselves.
Yeah, your duty is to advise. That's it. Finish.
Yeah, yeah.
We have their life, the final decision they make. So advising as parent is very important. Then help out in whatever situation where you can to arrange for their marriage if there is a need. That one is our duty. Sigalowada Sutta, very clear.
Yes, correct. Sadhu. Yeah, thank you, Garcia.
Thank you. Yeah, that's
it. I learned a lot of Dharma from you that can actually make use of it, apply it, you know.
Only
when there's condition, you act. If no condition, don't act.
Yeah,
you know?
That one is very important. That's why I say act on
guidance.
Flow.
Seek guidance from the Triple Gem, you know.
Yeah.
Guide them, you know. Yeah, thank you, Amitabha.
Thank you, Amitabha. Let us rejoice with the good sharing and condition created by Sister Po Cheng and Manyuana. Sadhu. Okay, let us share merit now. Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Admoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Ita wata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siddhiya idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Devo asatkalina sasa sampati hetu cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to the Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you. Sadhu.